The Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. And thank you all for giving me the opportunity to be here and also supporting me through my year in Uruguay. So just before we get started, a quick geographical piece. I was serving in Montevideo, the capital city of Uruguay, which lies just in South America, just south of Brazil and just east of Argentina. So while I was in Uruguay, I was actually living in the Lutheran church there, one of two Lutheran churches in the entire country. So if we bring up the first photo, those are the people that I worshiped with, and that was the largest group of people that I ever worshiped with in Uruguay. So if you count them, that's 13 people, plus the person behind the camera would make it 14. And so with that idea in mind, the congregation's very small, and so the church can't really live off what is tithed by the community, and so I was living in a dorm that was rented out by the church. So Uruguay, being a pretty secular country, there's not as much of a religious stronghold there as there is here. And so one of the ways many of the churches, not just the Lutheran church, but many different churches in Uruguay earned money was by renting out properties, many times in the form of dorms for college students. And so I was living at the church with 10 Uruguayan university students and two other volunteers who were from Germany. So we mentioned that the church congregation was small in numbers, but that does not mean that they weren't carrying out their own mission. The opposite, in fact. I was there to help work at one of the missions that was supported by the Uruguayan Lutheran Church. I was working in the poorest neighborhood in the country, El Barrio Borro, a very marginalized community. Many people in Montevideo and in Uruguay did not want to be associated with this neighborhood, did not want to be associated with the people who were there. And so they had an outreach program for the teens and kids in that community, and that's who I was working with. So in the next slide, that's the group of teenagers that I was working with. I worked with teens in the morning. All the kids that we worked with were outside of their regular, of a formal educational setting for one reason or another. It might be because they had dropped out of school just because they didn't want to be there anymore, or maybe they had a job so they couldn't go to school, or maybe they're taking care of a younger sibling, or maybe they had kids or a child of their own that they had to take care of. And so one of the parts of the project was actually they had teachers and they were working towards a high school diploma equivalency. The teenagers that I was working with, though, were working on a cooking project. It was kind of a transitional year with the hope that now they're in a semi-formal educational system, but not quite as intense as a regular school would be. And the hope was that the next year maybe they would go back to high school or they would get a technical degree of some sort. And so let me give you a little image of what it was like to go into this neighborhood from where I was living in Montevideo. The church was right in the middle of the city, so I got on the bus about two blocks from where I was living, and it could have been any city, USA. Large, wide streets, sidewalks, concrete buildings covered on all the sides. And as the bus kept going, soon the sidewalks disappeared, giving way to these large ditches full of overgrown grass, full of plastic bags, maybe paper cups, any type of litter you can imagine. Soon the bus stops too disappeared, and it seemed that people just knew to stand on this corner if they wanted to get on the bus or press the button at this time to get off at the right place. Also, the streets went from being paved streets to being gravel roads, and the apartments were no longer large concrete complexes, but cinder block small houses, probably with a rusting out tin roof on top. And so, originally I went in with the idea that I was going to follow this reading that we heard in Matthew, that I was going to clothe the naked and feed the hungry and all of those good things. But really, it wasn't just me doing that, and that really, I found out, was not my role. This project that I was working at had all these great things in place before I went there, and of course they continue on now that I've returned home. And my real job there, I think, was just to be a friend. And so in this photo, I was actually able to compete in a soccer tournament with the teenagers that I was working with. And soccer was probably one of the most important things that I could have done while I was down there. If you think about how important football season is right now here in the United States, soccer is about 100 times more important there. So many of the relationships that I built there were built on the soccer field. We flip to the next photo. That's the second group of teenagers I was working with in their new school year. And here again, kind of exemplifies how my job was not quite so much yet geared at being an educator and geared at all these necessities that they needed, but more towards being a friend. There they are lifting me up and messing up my hair, and it's just about being a friend. Then the next photo, those are the kids that I was working with. I was working with kids then in the afternoons. And these kids would go to school. They went to elementary school in the mornings, but they only did half days at school. They only did their core curriculum at school. They didn't have any of their extracurriculars, such as gym class or music or art or any of those things. Those were reserved for people who had enough money to pay tuition for a private education. And so we provided some of those extracurriculars for the kids. One of the other important things that we did with the kids was go swimming twice a week. And not only because swimming is a fun thing to do, but also because some of those kids were living in homes that didn't have bathrooms, and so that was their opportunity to get a shower. But let's switch over to the next photo. Again, it's not all just dire situations and isolated mishappenings in another part of the world, things that don't touch us here in the United States, things that don't touch us here in North Dakota or in Bismarck. These are all situations that are occurring around us. And that doesn't mean the kids are any different either. The kids are the same as all the kids here, and they really showed me that through their desire for playing sports and eating chocolate and yelling and screaming and laughing just like you would imagine any other kid. So here I am with Rocio and Priscilla, And we're playing with a jump rope that we played with most days. Sometimes we used it to jump over. Right now it was hung up and over a tree to be turned into a swing. Sometimes we'd tie it around two trees and turn it into a slack line. The next photo, there's Fernanda. And that day we were playing cards, and I'm quite sure the rules to the game changed with each hand, depending what was in Fernanda's hand. But they were just like regular kids. And so my job there with the kids as well as with the teenagers was just to be their friend. But I think that idea also goes both ways. It wasn't just that I went there to serve these kids. The people of Uruguay served me as well. So if we go back to that text in Matthew that we heard this morning, there's a verse that says, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." We flip to the next photo. That is a group of Uruguayans who really exemplified that verse and really did a ministry to me for accepting me. I went down there as what you would assume is a fully functioning adult, but I went down there with about the vocabulary of a three-year-old as they speak castellano, a dialect of Spanish. Also, I was pretty ignorant to the social issues and the history of the country and why some people would think one way and why they behave a certain way and why sometimes my behaviors were a little off. And so one of my coworkers invited me to play on her basketball team to try out a practice. And it ended up being the most important and fulfilling part of my day. These ladies accepted me into their group. They looked past my ignorance, past my broken Spanish, past any shortcomings I would have as a foreigner coming from a different land, coming from a different mentality, and completely accepted me into their group. They were interested in hearing about my personal thoughts and life, and they were just extremely open to being my friend despite everything. They really took me as a stranger and welcomed me in. And one of the cool things about that is I still keep in touch with those teammates of mine, and they actually just recently sent me a gift. If you can see up there, I am wearing the team uniform, which I had borrowed from a former teammate, but they wanted to give me something to remember them by. And so I just received this in the mail last week. It's my own uniform with my name on it to remember the experiences and the friendship and the laughs and everything that we had together. And so I think that that basketball team really exemplified everything that I was there for, to welcome in the stranger, to be a friend, to build relationships. So let us remember, as we are celebrating World Communion Sunday, that even though we might be separated by distance or by cultural nuances, that we're really not all that different, and that we are all one in Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's give her a round of applause of thanks.